Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm number 33. Psalm number 33, we've come to this psalm. And verses 1 to 5. Pray together. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, once again we have sung a happy psalm, and we have been encouraged by the joy of the psalmist and indeed by the joy of the Lord to rejoice and to raise our voices in praise, thanksgiving, gratitude, a sense of wonder and a sense of indebtedness, a sense of humility mingled with a sense of unworthiness, and yet a sense of the assurance of God's love revealed to us in so many places in the Scriptures, that the message is unmistakably plain. God is love. God loves this world. God loves the church. God pities the sinners and does something in order to pardon sinners. Having no delight in the death of any man, this great God of mercy, to whom judgment is a strange work, an unpleasant task, and to whom salvation is his proper work. And so as we think about these things at the beginning of this evening's worship, we do pray that our rejoicing would be from the heart, not just from the lips, not just out of words written before us, but the expressions of a deep felt sense of due wonder, that we should be so loved and so treated as though we had never sinned. This great reality of justification, peace with God, acquitted of all guilt, accounted as righteous in his sight, not for anything that we have done, but only for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and for everything that he has done on our behalf. Lord, we rejoice in so great a salvation. We know that the world does not know this tonight. We know that the world does not care to know about it. We know that down through the long history of the human race, there has been a searching in every corner and in every crevice of the universe, anywhere but finding God revealed in the Scriptures. And thus it was with our first parents, and so it is all around us, even tonight. But we do give thanks for the Christian church, for the body and the bride of Christ, for that community of redemption. And we pray that we would be glad, O God, to be part of that community, unashamed, unafraid, confident that all is well, that the future is bright. It is as full of brightness as the promises of God are full. And we know that the promises of God are not vague, but detailed and plentiful, filled up to the brim with good things. We do pray for the world in which we live. We pray for our neighbors. We pray especially for our families, the unconverted ones amongst them. And, O God, our desire for them above all things is that they would be saved. Whether they know poverty or prosperity, pain or pleasure in this world, O God, we pray that they would know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We pray for the preachers of the word once again. We are commanded to pray for the proclaimers of the gospel. We recognize that preachers are only men, nothing great about them, no extra abilities, men with weaknesses and clay feet like everybody else, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Amongst us all, we find the chief of sinners. And we recognize, O God, that apart from that grace of God in the gospel and the call of God by the Spirit, there would be no such thing as the preaching of the gospel. And so we pray for preachers. We pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the theological colleges would be cleaned out and cleaned up and be restored to scriptural faithfulness, and that the products of these colleges would not come out as damaged goods to damage further the churches. Heavenly Father, we pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers and to keep them, to encourage them, to uphold them in every way, and to give them evidences and fruit for their labors. And so we commit ourselves again, Lord, to the work of the church, to the building up of the saints, the encouragement of God's dear people. We need so many things. We have so many weaknesses, waywardnesses. So many problems afflict our lives. So many uncertainties assail us. We know that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, our enemy, like a maddened, hungry, ravenous lion, aroused to anger, aroused to a devouring appetite. And we remember that this is the grim reality. But we remember too, O God, that he is God's creature, that he is already defeated, and in the last day he shall be destroyed. So we do remember these issues, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us. As the psalmist cried, as Moses cried to the Lord, as David did in the days of battle, as the prophets did in the days of their discouragements, We read of Jeremiah calling upon God's name with tears. And so we enter into his footsteps and into his petitions again this evening. O God Most High, help us and heal us in these our days, and all for God's glory we pray. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read this evening in Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul's letter to Philemon. And we find it among the last, it's the last in the list of Paul's epistles, immediately before Hebrews. The letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels, or the inner compassions, or the inner life of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is my own self, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant or a slave, but above a slave, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee or owes thee anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my affections, or my inner affections, in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so on. Well, let us sing further now to God's glory in Psalm number 33. And we shall sing from verse 6 to verse 9.